Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
As it is today, he says, you're sanctified. You are preserved. You never have to worry about losing this gift of salvation that Christ gave to you.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read in the book of Jude, a small postcard. In the New Testament, you have your Bibles, turn all the way back to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and then back up to Jude, which is the second to the last book. Jude chapter 1, because that's the only chapter in this particular book. I'm going to preach 1 through 16 today. We won't go through every single item, but I'm going to pretty much work through the text. But let's read just the first four verses, because I think it sets up the beginning of the rest of this one little epistle, letter that Jude wrote. I'll say more about that in a minute. But let's read out loud together Jude verses 1 through 4, and then I'll finish with verse 5. Ready? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He finishes this little section, the first of three parts of Jude, by saying, I will therefore put you in remembrance. And that's what he does. He covers the topic, if we could call it, fighting to make a difference, a holy war for a holy people. I hope that we'll benefit from this. I talked to Jack Wilcox. He would be a good example of this. He was a young airman, worked in the air traffic control in Anderson Air Force Base. He said, I was a young guy, 21 years old, and I had went up to the chapels there at Anderson Air Force Base. And during that 2 years I served here, 1954 and 55, he said, I was an amateur photographer. I took pictures of Guam. I thought you'd be interested in seeing those. This was last year, and so I said, yeah, send them to me. I've seen a lot of old school pictures of Guam, old school, but I've rarely seen them as clear and distinct as them. But I saw those, and of course, we weren't around, but there's still a few that are still around, and they remember those days. And when I talk with people in their 70s and 80s that grew up here, Tony Ignacio would be one where he has fond memories of these days back then. It seemed like life was simple back then. Clean, wholesome, everybody loved everybody. You know, it probably wasn't the truth, but boy, as our mind goes back, those were the good old days. When you compare it to now in Guam, where there's more bodies, there's more people, there's more crime, there's more pollution and all that comes with it, but still, Guam is your beautiful island. We have a hard time putting ourselves back into that necessarily. It's difficult. If you can understand that concept, you can understand that this letter, Jude, that we're going to look at in a minute, one of eight books, this was written at the same time that Paul wrote 2 Timothy. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Jude, because we're going to stay there. But I'm going to finish with 2 Timothy chapter 2, because they're important, because they both were written in the mid-60s, ADs. These two letters, 2 Timothy, a few years after 1 Timothy, Paul wrote, he had observations about his days. And then Jude also wrote, that's where we're going to stay. But both of these are about 30 to 35 years after the ascension of Christ. He's in heaven. He left the Spirit of Christ there for the church to be birthed in Acts 2. And then you're talking 30, 35 years later. They are remembering that those days when Christ was on earth. They remember the power and resource and energy and dynamism that early church was growing. And they were seeing changes. They were seeing differences. And they were highly concerned about this. This was only 35 years or so after Christ ascended. They were burdened about it. They were so worried. Things are different. Things are changing. And again, that's much different than some of you and I, as we talk to people that are older. They talk about their country, talk about our country. They remember way back beyond the 50s, into the 40s and earlier. And boy, they, you know, sometimes they get so frustrated and angry. What's happening to our country? What's going on? I couldn't have never seen this happen. Have you ever talked to people that way? I have. You would think, why are they so energized about it? The younger you are, the less you understand that. But the reality is, this world has changed much. Well, this is the same idea and concept that you see with Jude. And Jude, listen to me, particularly. Jude here, and there's a number of Judes in the Bible, but when notice verse 1, he says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, he's identifying himself straight up right away, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. People reading this, he was writing from Jerusalem, they knew immediately he identified himself as a doulos of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was his half-brother. This is the same Jude that went on to say, and he's the brother of James, because James, the guy that wrote the letter James, we're going to look at, and he were brothers, but their half-brother was Jesus. They grew up with Jesus. Their mother, Mary, was the same, but their father, Joseph. Joseph was not the father of Jesus. God was. But they saw him grow up as a little kid. They saw him in his early elementary age, in his teen years, and on into his 20s as he was learning the trades of a carpenter and living there in Nazareth. They knew him better than anybody, and they never, ever turned to Christ because they were so blinded. They were so close. He's just my brother. Lived in the home with us. Ate, slept. But he was perfect, according to scriptures. And it wasn't until after Christ raised from the dead and showed himself to James and Jude, and they both of them got saved. James became the leader in Jerusalem. Jude also was a leader. We also know about Jude that he said, I'm the servant. And then he says, and it's a triad, he's writing to them that are sanctified by God the Father, they're preserved in Jesus Christ, and they're called. This is the first triad, three topics together, the first of 16 that Jude writes in this little 25-verse epistle. He might like threes. Evidently, I like threes. It must be a preacher thing, I guess. But the reality is in this, he identifies who he's now talking to. Jude, they knew who he was. He had a unique perspective that very few had. But he immediately said, I'm identifying with not just Jesus, my brother, but Jesus, who's my Lord. And he says to these people, this group of people, listen, as it is today, he says, you're sanctified. Your past is washed away. You are preserved. You never have to worry about losing this gift of salvation that Christ gave to you. And on top of that, you're called to the future. You have something that's incredibly important. And he, these first four verses, lays the overview of Jude by saying, I'm just giving you, this is the call. I'm going to get to a minute to the clarity of all of this, and we won't get to the charge till next week. We'll finish our message with this, but I'm laying this all because you need to understand that he, Jude, in verse 2 says, and again a triad, mercy unto you and peace. He's talking to believers now. You need to have mercy. I'm praying to God to give you mercy and peace. And he identifies a New Testament triad when he adds the element of love. And all of these, he's saying, I hope they're multiplied, not just added, but multiplied to you. I hope that you're able to enjoy all of that. And then Jude goes on in verse 3, and he says, look in your Bibles, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. He says, listen, I felt I had to write to you. I wanted to write about salvation. I wanted to write about all the wonderful things of our Lord. I wanted to be positive. I wanted to give to you. These are so many things we get to do. But he said, I just couldn't. He said, I felt compelled, or he uses the idea that it was needful for me to write, and I'm exhorting you. He said, I've got to tell you about these things, because here he is now, 30 so years later, he's seeing drifting, he's seeing differences, he's seeing changes, and he's so burdened about it, and it's the same tone that Paul had in 2 Timothy 2. We'll get there. But notice, if you would, here Jude now says, here's what I'm so exhorting you about in your Bibles, that you should earnestly contend for the faith. The idea of contend is the idea to earnestly fight for. It's the idea of kind of exerting a new energy, or it's a self-denial for a bigger cause. It's the idea of a military term that you're controlling a certain area. You're contending for, you're like a military person fighting for a treasure or fighting for ground. It's like I'm creating, he's saying, kind of a green zone. And I'm going to do all I can. And I want you now, beloved, people that are Christians, to have a same mindset that you need to be willing to, in essence, create a green zone around God's truth, because it is under attack all the time. He's saying, I don't want to deal with this, but I feel like I've got to deal with it. It would be like a mariner or a fisherman that's going out and he's got people on his boat and he's saying, now listen, I need to point out some areas that you need to be concerned about. It's kind of like going on the dive boats, and we take kids out every so often to swim off those boats, and we've got to spend about 8-9 minutes, and they walk through all the things you get to do, but they say, now here's a few things you can't do, and they emphasize them. Now, why does he do that? Because he wants to be unhappy. He wants us to be miserable. He wants to have a lousy time. No, he's saying it because I want you to identify these are danger areas. That fisherman says, hey, I want you to go out here, and there are certain reefs out here that are hidden. You need to know where those are, because if you hit them, you're going to have a big problem. So Jude's coming purely out of I don't want to deal with this, but I got to deal with this. That's kind of the attitude. And that's the attitude. As I look at Jude, the first time I heard a message on Jude, I thought, man, this is big time negative. What is going on here? The older I get, I think, you know what? There's a lot of reality to this. What is that reality? This is his call, that we would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. He said, I'm gathering all of this truth. I'm putting it together. There's no more new truth. And we look at the whole of Scripture. You have once delivered. This is the Scriptures. This is truth. You don't need to worry about anything else coming in this. I remember as a young believer thinking, I wonder if there's more to this. I wonder. You know, maybe those people are right, that there's another book, you know, that some angel gave to them, Moroni, that's become, maybe that's. Then I realized, you know what, it's once delivered. There's no new truth to this, my friend. There's not going to be any maybe some history, you know, that God didn't tell us about something else that's going to show up. Negatory.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.